I think about the life I live, a figure made of clay, and think about the things I lost, the things I gave away. And when I'm in a certain mood, I search the house and look. One night I found these magic words in a magic book. Throw it away. Throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day. And keep your hand wide open. Let the sun shine through. 'Cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. There's a hand to rock the cradle and a hand to help us stand. With a gentle kind of motion as it moves across the land. And the hands unclenched and open, gifts of life and love it brings. So keep your hand wide open if you're needing anything. Throw it away, throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day. And keep your hand wide open, let the sun shine through. 'Cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. Throw it away, throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day, and keep your hand wide open, let the sun shine through, 'cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. 'Cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. I hadn't heard that song before today. Hope I got the tune right. I thought it was real pretty. It was originally by Abby Lincoln, by the way. I figure most people listening probably haven't heard it either, so they didn't really know the difference if I got it right. So. Lorraine and I had to get rid of a coffee table that just wasn't fitting in our apartment. Put it out by the fence in the hope somebody would take it, but now it looks like we're going to have to break it up and throw it away. So I had this throwing away thing on my mind when I was looking for an opening song, and I just came across that one. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show. We are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, also at revolution.radio, and of course at our website, newdream.us, where you can also listen to all our archive shows. Revolution Radio is a listener-supported network of great shows, and we urge you to head on over to freedomslips.com and make a donation there. It's a good cause. I am proud now to hand the show over to my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Chuck, tonight we welcome these special guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Alafong, Gilbert Landolt, and Phil Ferrugio. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in northern Minnesota, in Des Moines, in Port Orange, Florida, in Denver, in Mount Jackson, Virginia, in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and wherever you are. Screw the national anthem. Forcing anyone to stand for the national anthem is anti-American. So much of what we see today is just fake. It is becoming common knowledge that everything we see is fake and that we have to behave in an acceptable fake manner in order to get by. That's Scott, that last part was Scott Creighton on the American Everyman blog, commenting on the new NFL rule that players must stand for the national anthem to honor soldiers in the military, in war and killing, invading Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, murdering, all based on the lie that 9/11 was not done by Israel and our own government. Actually, anyone who does stand for the national anthem is a traitor, showing support for the criminals and traitors who killed 3,000 of their own people that day of infamy, September 11th, 2001, and then going on to murder millions more. So screw the national anthem. Forcing anyone to stand for the national anthem is anti-American.
Well, right now, we're supposed to have Phil Ferrugio's segment, and I have lost it. I don't know how this happened, but I recorded him a while back now. Mike, I think you're going to have to run on to the next thing, and I'm going to see what I can do about finding Phil's segment, and we'll play it after yours.
Sounds good, Chuck. I know you'll find it. And now, cue the Rimsky-Korsakov, and now for another episode of Professor Rutherford P. Roswell's Conspiracy Corner. We find Rutherford P. Roswell sitting at home, getting ready to begin his weekly podcast from his basement, imitation cedar panel man cave. He has his computer and his headset and professional-looking microphone with the fireplace glowing in front of him and his English setter, Apollo, lying on the carpeted floor, feet straight up in the air, sound asleep. Professor Roswell checks the time on the computer, sips his drowsy time tea, swivels in his chair and draws the Crown Royal single malt from the glass case, turns back, sprinkles a dash into the tea, and sets the bottle on the floor right near his feet. Around on the walls are photos of Roswell and the important people he has interviewed over the decades. He receives an email notification from the network telling him the show will start soon. He smiles as he types salutations to the many listeners now showing up in the chat room from around the world. Skagway, hello. Rosalind, hi there all. Sleep Mute. Sicily, Mayberry, Virginia City, hello. College Station, Beverly Hills, Barstow, Columbia Heights, Boggy Bottom, Rocky Top, Bear Creek, Sandy Holler, Alsace, Genoa, Venice, Vicksburg. Hello, hello, hello. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now, with your host, Professor Rutherford P. Roswell, it's time again for Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Just hold some hot tea in your tired hands close to your chest and slowly fall asleep. Sleep, sleep. Maybe put the hot cup on the desk. Sleep, sleep. Drowsy time tea. Forget about it. And sleep. You. Stop whatever it is that you are doing because it really doesn't matter. As long as the persistent lie about the JFK, RFK, and MLK murders persists in this country, nothing you do, working out, going to work, eating, sleeping, talking, none of it matters. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. None of it matters. You do not matter. Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to all. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get right to it, shall we? It's true. It's all true. The conspiracy theories. I have to sit back, even me, and try to comprehend what that means, even after all these years. Anyone who believes in the latest fairy tale, Santa Fe, must also believe in Rudolph, Mrs. Santa, and the elves. It's all fake, a big hoax, such a gigantic lie, this life. I really don't think I can put my head around it, even yet, as they say. I'm trying. In the latest absurdity published by the New York Times, which pretends to be our nation's newspaper of record, but which has a record of publishing false accounts of every major false flag carried out by local, state, and federal authorities, most recently about Charlottesville, where the Times celebrated a Charlottesville stuntman, a Photoshop photo, and a crisis actor who made her debut in Sandy Hook, we now have the further, and to my mind, conclusive demonstration that the Times has gone all in on behalf of fake news in its own post-truth era. The profundity of the willful ignorance of the Times and its designated hit woman, Elizabeth Williamson, can be measured by the facts of the matter with regard to the reporting and completely failure, which has to be deliberate, to contact the 13 most highly qualified experts on Sandy Hook who have contributed to the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, including 6 current or retired PhD college professors. Can the Times possibly be unaware that the first edition was banned by Amazon within a month of its publication on 22 October 2015, after it had already sold nearly 500 copies and appeared destined to be a bestseller? It had to be suppressed because it proves that the school was closed by 2008 and that there were no students there. We even found the FEMA manual for a 2-day exercise, which explains why there were porta-potties in place. Pizza and bottled water was available at the firehouse, and so many were photographed wearing name tags on lanyards, all of which is standard for FEMA exercises, where the manual was published as Appendix A. Even Infowars.com covered the ban. It was taken down 38 minutes later after having received 178 comments because it accurately gave photo image credit. Connecticut State Police, which was accurate because the Connecticut State Police were staging the event behind the scenes, including furnishing an empty home to serve as the Lanza residence and refurbishing the school to serve as the stage. Conspiracy Corner, sponsored by Drowsy Time Tea, because sometimes it's the best you can do. It's all you can do. You did your best. Forget about it and just sleep. And now I think we have Phil Ferruccio lined up. Is that right, Chuck?
Well, I believe we do, Mike. We're going to find out right about now. This is Philip Ferruccio from Port Orange, Florida, with It's the Empire, Stupid.
All right. Good evening, working stiffs. To be a real Jew, this writer has been a student of both World War II and the Jewish Holocaust for most of my adult life. I believe it was in 1988 or 89, and I was home watching the made-for-television movie, Murder is Among Us, the Simon Wiesenthal story. A scene from the film caused me great consternation. In the scene, Wiesenthal, played by Ben Kingsley, is searching for his mother by a railroad station. He had heard that she was going to be deported, and he knew what that meant. She was obviously in one of the crowded cattle cars ready to depart the station. He was on the platform yelling out her name. There was a German guard off in the near distance. Wiesenthal was very desperate. Who wouldn't be, knowing your mother, the woman who nurtured you and loved you unconditionally, was being sent to most likely her death? Suddenly he heard a cry from one of the cattle cars. Simone! He looked in the direction of the car that the cry came from. The train began to pull away, and the guard was between Wiesenthal and his mother's cattle car. He fell to his knees and silently wept, so as not to startle the German soldier. Well, I quickly wiped my own eyes and grabbed a pen and notepad, and this is what I wrote within a few minutes. Okay, never again. To be a Jew, an outcast with nothing, neither the dignity of a cell nor the honor of a soldier, hunted, tormented shamelessly just for being a Jew. To be a Jew, homeless, loved by no one, godless, but in memory of a father so forgiving, yet turned away once more, just for being a Jew. To be a Jew, a creature of the day, for the night has eyes, eyes that can condemn, eyes that can haunt, just for being a Jew. To be a Jew, standing proud in cattle cars, marching silently towards death, for only God holds redemption for those who are the chosen, just for being a Jew. Well, the poem was laser engraved onto a plaque and sent to the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, California, where it remains today as part of the Holocaust Museum's archives. This is just how affected I was by my study of that horrific era in the history of the 20th century. Well, sadly, I must state that many of my fellow Jewish brethren, by the way, I just found out through Ancestry.com that I am 8% Jewish, and interestingly, 8% Middle Eastern. Many have failed to understand what their Holocaust really meant. To forcibly remove perhaps as many as 750,000 Palestinians from their homes in 1948 to finalize the Jewish state of Israel makes one recall similar such actions by the Germans in the 1930s. Is the ghetto that Gaza has become that much different than the ghettos created in Warsaw and Krakow? The Germans allowed for their citizens to move into areas in Poland and other Eastern countries after displacing the natives in those areas, many were Jewish, under the guise of Lebensraum, or living space. How is that any different from many of my Jewish fellow citizens from Borough Park, Brooklyn, and other places moving to Israel and forming settlements in former Palestinian areas? How in the hell does a Jewish person from another country have such living rights over a Palestinian whose family has lived there for countless generations? The new film, Killing Gaza, by Max Blumenthal and Dan Cohn, both, by the way, proud Jewish men, has just been released. Every American Jew, especially our Jewish American politicians, should watch it. I would imagine that even Israelis would have to acknowledge that Gaza is a ghetto. Of course, most Israelis who support the settler movement will blame it on the victims and not on Israeli policy. This kind of inane justification of horrific treatment has always been used by the conqueror. You shut off a man's water supply, and then you call him a dirty slob when he cannot wash properly. The bottom line is what the truth reveals and nothing more. Finally, one anecdote from this writer seems to sum it all up. In 1988, I was also traveling from New York City to Arizona by plane one night. It was a long 5-hour flight, and we were on a jumbo jet. I was standing alongside this man, in his late 40s perhaps, who said he was an Israeli engineer. During our conversation, I asked him about his feelings on the Palestinian situation. Now remember, this was in 1988. He began explaining things as he saw it, and then he said the following, with no emotion at all. Quote, "You have to understand that we Israelis see the Palestinians as you in the USA see your blacks. Quite honestly, they breed like rabbits. And if this continues, they will outnumber us with their excess population. As much as I hate to admit it, the only recourse we have is to push them into the sea before they totally overwhelm us." Unquote. Thank you.
And now for another episode of The Adventures of Orson B. Riddle, crisis actor of Paducah. Inside his little house on the walls above the TV and Xbox, in a brown frame is his membership certificate to the Crisis Actors Guild. And on the kitchen table, he still has to mail it yet, is his membership application to the Propaganda Movie Actors Association. His suitcase lays wide open on the bed because he just got home from Florida and you can't really see the stickers he has collected from Oklahoma, Texas, California, New York, Boston, Connecticut, Nevada. Orson B. Riddle usually only gets 1, 2, or maybe 3 days at home until it's time to pack his makeup kit, head bandages, prosthetics, and go to the next big event. For 3 years, he worked at Walmart, and then he saw this ad on Craigslist, and he's never looked back.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
And now, back to Orson B. Riddle, crisis actor of Paducah. It's a nice day. Orson is sitting in a tree in his backyard, listening to music on his headphone, eating graham crackers. He's been reading stuff on the internet, even though he's not really supposed to, just supposed to watch the TV at close to full volume all day long and wait for the telephone. That's when he decided he wasn't ready and climbed a tree with the almost full box of graham crackers and his music. He's thinking about giving it up, quitting, throwing in the towel, even though that would mean losing his free Cocoa Puffs for life, his timeshare in West Texas, his RV camping spot in Times Square, his 401k, and his PlayStation 3. But he's been thinking of starting a new career. Maybe crisis acting isn't all there is. Orson B. Riddle has been thinking maybe he would like to be an astronaut. The one thing he still might do, though, he thought, as he chewed contemplatively on his graham crackers, wiping crumbs off his chest, is to still go ahead and attend the annual Crisis Actors Convention being held next month in Las Vegas. And then maybe one more big event, just maybe. They, his bosses in the Ford Torino, say that if he fills out his crisis actor punch card, he can get a free set of stainless steel pots and pans from Walmart. And Orson is only one punch shy of a full card. Join us next week for yet another episode of Orson B. Riddle, Crisis Actor of Paducah, sponsored by Quick Dry Oats. Hardens to a cement block in your stomach within minutes. Because you never know when you're going to get a good hard kick in the gut. We're there for you, on the job, on the weekend, even when you sleep. Because these days, you really never know when the big hit is going to come. Now, do you? We're Quick Dry Oats of Northeast Minneapolis. Chuck, do you have a song for us tonight?
Well, I don't think we quite have time for one right now, Mike, but I thought I might mention to the folks that our regular columnist, Frank Cordero, who normally would appear in this next half hour after this, was arrested on Friday at a rally, an anti-drone rally. He got out of jail the next day, but I haven't been able to connect up with him to record the column. So we're going to be bringing somebody else brand new to give you some insight into what's going on out there in Des Moines. That'll be coming up after the break.
Chuck, I've got this article from the Nuclear Resister about that. Two peace activists arrested in armed forces today at Drone Command Center in Iowa. Veterans for Peace and Des Moines Catholic Workers' Second Annual Armed Forces Day stopped the killing rally and direct action at Iowa Air National Guard Drone Command Center on May 19th, Armed Forces Day. Members of Veterans for Peace, Des Moines Catholic Worker, and Iowa's religious community held a rally in direct action at the Iowa Air National Guard's Drone Command Center on the south side of Des Moines. Elliot Adams, former national president of Veterans for Peace, stressed the fundamental importance of diplomacy rather than violence in resolving international conflict. And we'll hear more on that in the next segment.
Message. Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
As I said before, on May 19th, Armed Forces Day, members of Veterans for Peace, Des Moines Catholic Worker, and Iowa's religious community held a rally and direct action at the Iowa Air National Guard's Drone Command Center on the south side of Des Moines. At the conclusion of the rally, Frank Cordero and Elliot Adams peacefully crossed the line onto the base in an act of civil disobedience and were arrested. Both spent the night in jail, pled guilty to trespass at jail court, and were fined and released the following day. And in this section of our show, we usually talk to Frank Cordero and the Des Moines Catholic Worker, but we're going to instead talk to Gilbert Lando, who was at the action. He is with Veterans for Peace. So now we're going to hear Gilbert Lando in Des Moines.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. This is Chuck Gregory, and normally I interview Frank Cordero for our radio show, The New American Dream, every Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying to get hold of him for over an hour, and I came across your number next to his in a story about last Friday's action, and I was wondering if you would be willing to tell us a little bit about what happened, and then I can play this on the air later.
Okay, you catch me off guard here. I got a government phone. I'm about out of minutes for the month. I mean, I might have 20 minutes left, but I got to save them in order to get through the month, because I got a rally coming up with the Poor People's Campaign on Tuesday.
If you can spare,
is there any chance I can,
4 minutes? If you can spare 4 minutes for us, it'd be great.
Okay. What time?
Right now. Just tell me. Tell us about what happened, and then I'm recording it, and I'll play it on the air on our show.
Okay. Basically, it was a kickoff, second annual of Armed Forces Day. You know, it's kind of like a military holiday type thing, started by Harry Truman and many years ago to honor veterans, that type of thing. So we decided we're going to do an annual thing with that. And we had a fairly good crowd. I mean, which it may not sound like much, but we broke double digits. I mean, we had probably 25 people there. You know, we're having an extra time to get people to show up. But it's to raise awareness. I'm president of Veterans of Peace for Central Iowa, and I live as a Des Moines Catholic worker. And so what we have done, we work together. I think Frank said we were out there at the Drone Command Center at the Iowa Air National Guard, which is located on the north side of the Des Moines International Airport. And we've been working on a drone, anti-drone campaign out there for a couple of years now. When they first pulled the F-16s out of Des Moines, they replaced it with a drone command center that flies the or controls the Reaper drones in Afghanistan and God only knows where else, all over the world. Hmm. And what our mission is to try to raise awareness of the fact that people in Iowa and Des Moines and even on the south side of Des Moines do not know that the command center is even there. So much less they don't understand what the command center does. And the Iowa Air National Guard, like all guard units nowadays that get their jets pulled out or whatever, they replace them with drone command centers. So we have done work in the past, the Veteran Peace, working with Catholic workers a lot, and other peace groups like Code Pink and that. We've had, out of Creech Air Force Base and Hancock Air Force Base in upstate New York and so forth. So we brought former president of Veterans for Peace, national commander based out of St. Louis. He's actually from outside Syracuse, New York, and he's been here several times now. His name is Elliot Adams. And we had him as our main speaker. And Frank and Elliot got arrested for refusing to leave the base. But they ended up spending the night in jail, and they got fined. I don't recall what the fine was, because they got a new law as of January 2018 in Iowa that they can no longer keep you in jail on a trespass charge. So they went ahead and let him out, and I went out and picked him up Sunday morning and brought him back home here. And then Elliot took off for Palestine. That's where he's at right now, to the best of my knowledge. But nevertheless, the main thing is to try, from Frank's end, being a Catholic worker and him being a former priest of 20 years, is try to get more of the religious leaders in Central Iowa and all over Iowa to say something on record and off the pulpit that these wars, which are illegal, immoral, and just totally insane, they're being ran now through drones in areas that we don't even know all the locations. And from Veterans Peace standpoint, one of our main things is education, and to try to basically raise awareness to the true cost of war, not only for us here in Iowa, but for the poor people and innocent women and children overseas that we're killing with these inaccurate, they claim they're precision machines, these drones, and they're not. And they kill many innocent people, and they do second strikes and things like that. So we're trying to, raise awareness to this type of thing. And hopefully, we can, the more we educate people, I think once they realize the reality and the truth of what's going on from these drone command centers here in Iowa and throughout the United States, that maybe they'll wake up and realize the people here, that there's people on the receiving end of this thing who are just people like you and I, and we just want to live in peace, but Anyhow, so that's what this mission that we did, this protest vigil, that's what it was all about the other day. So,
okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, reporting on it for us. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate the word that you put out. You do great work. I've met you before, and I know, I also have a good friend who's a Vietnam veteran, Richard Flamer, down in Chiapas, Mexico, that you deal with. And
that's right.
And I appreciate everything you do, man.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot now. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
And now this New American Dream radio show editorial comment, sponsored by the National Football League, ESPN, Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, some other stuff, and Crest Toothpaste. And we're going to say this stuff, and nobody gets fired, and nobody gets killed. Well, it's clear we've been lied to through our whole history, over the course of our whole lives. Most of us never come to realize it. Even saying that sounds elitist, as if you are one of the chosen ones who possess the truth. But it's true nevertheless. Most of us are hardwired with what we are taught from the very start, in church, in school, on the television, on the radio, in the newspapers. And the truth is that for reasons of power and money, those things are controlled. The people with power and money are some of the smartest people on the planet. And they figured out that knowledge is power, and that if you control knowledge, you can control people. Most of us would not think of trying to control history. History just happens. But these people with power and money really think outside the box. And they came to know that anything is possible. And so they made sure they control the information. They control what people know, what they learn, and what they think. That sounds ludicrous, but it's true. And so the battle for the mind is the most important battle being fought anywhere. And it's everywhere. And thank Buddha or Alan the Alien or Jesus H. Christ, we do have some smart people on our side as well. People who have given their lives to trying to find out the truth for us so that we might not have to live entire lives based in bullshit. John Kennedy was killed 50 years ago, and there are dozens, probably hundreds of people who have devoted whole lives to spreading out the thousands of pieces of that puzzle on their kitchen table and trying to put together. The same with the many so-called conspiracy theory events that are the fabric of the fable that is our national history. There are good people on our side trying to find out the truth about the Robert F. Kennedy assassination, the Martin Luther King murder, Oklahoma City, 9/11 Waco, the Aurora Theater shooting, Sandy Hook, Boston, Charlottesville, Parkland, Santa Fe. If we actually were able to talk about these things, say on the Today Show or Conan or the Daily Show or Nightly News, Brian Williams, Rachel Maddow, we would have ourselves what they call a real country. That is what would happen in a real country. Ours is something other. Here at the New American Dream, we advocate becoming a real country. Talk about everything, even in the cafe, even in church, even during supper or lunch, even in school, even at the ball game, even on the news, even in the newspaper. Go ahead, talk amongst yourselves. This message brought to you by your local National Football League franchise. If a plane would have hit the Pentagon, we would have seen that short film 1,000 times by now on Chevrolet commercials and Miller Beer commercials and on commercials somehow juxtaposing the Pentagon, puppy pellets, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Pope-mobile. So, no plane hit the Pentagon. And because we know that from the lack of Pope-mobile prevarications, we can be sure that Bush, Rove, Rumsfeld, et al. Are liars and murderers. And we can include a bunch more folks in there as well. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the nice Obama family across the street, the wildly insane Trumps. They all know the truth and refuse to tell us. See the USA in your Chevrolet today and drink a Coke along the way. You never know when it all might just blow away. And did you know, just this past week, the German exchange students calling themselves
The White Rose took over the local American history class, room 101, third period, shut the door, began whispering before the teacher got there. Sit down. We don't have much time. They will stop us. Okay, Lee Harvey Oswald, James Earl Ray, Sirhan Sirhan, Osama bin Laden are not your enemies. Karl Rove, Barack Obama, George Bush, Dick Cheney, these are your enemies. These are your lone nuts. Okay, someone's coming. Remember, do your outside reading. Google Oklahoma City bombing, what really happened. Google 9/11 truth. Watch the rules of engagement about Waco. Listen to Jim Fetzer's presentation on the Wellstone assassination. Really, people, this is not silly. It's real. Barack Obama talking about having just killed Osama. That is silly. George W. Bush not wanting to meet alone with the 9/11 Commission. That's silly. Read Jim Garrison. Don't listen to the nightly news. Watch the frightened astronauts in their press conference. They do not smile. After coming back from the moon, listen to your crazy uncles, people. Okay, sit up straight and take out your textbooks. Say Boston strong like cheese when they take your picture and smile. But also remember to think and do not despair. Shh, they're here. Our next guest of the show is Karen Kitowski. Karen Kitowski comes to us each month from Mount Jackson, Virginia. She's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force who was stationed at the Pentagon on 9/11. She has run for Congress. She's had her own radio show. She's a writer. Look for her stuff at lourockwell.com. And we're hoping to be able to contact Karen right now in Mount Jackson, Virginia.
Hello.
Well, hello, Karen. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show, and you are on the air.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I'll start out with, it was a wonderful day here in the western part of Virginia, just gorgeous. Everything's green and beautiful, so that's a positive. And I'm grateful for that. What I'm not so grateful for... when we look at our government, because I have to talk about our government because it drives me nuts. Just one little example, you know, the thing that's in the news today about Trump and Pence and all these neocons up there having their verbal battles. And so now the so-called U.S.-North Korea summit is the meeting that was going to be in, where was it, Hong Kong or someplace, is not going to happen. So, you know, and it, my initial reaction, my first reaction to this was, you know, I thought, you know, that's a loss. That's kind of a, you know, too bad for us. There was an opportunity that that's been missed or is being missed, and you know, I was kind of excited about it, and I should have realized, I should have trusted my gut instinct. And I kind of got this as I was listening to some of the rhetoric before the meeting got canceled. You know, where we're talking about Libya and we're starting to lay down demands. You know, it's not just a meeting. It's we're gonna lay some demands on the table, and you're gonna do it. And if you don't do it, Mr. Kim, then you're gonna get bombed. We've got a lot of nuclear weapons, and we can use them, and we don't want to, but we will. And it's like, oh my gosh, what is how stupid can the United States be? So. In looking at all of this, you know, the cancellation of this meeting, I sat back a little bit, enjoying the nice weather and the green grass, and I sat back, and it seems like what's really happening here, although what we're seeing, what's being reported here is, you know, Pence is an idiot, the neocons are idiots, the military does not want to remove its vast investment in South Korea, which of course it would have to do, and it will have to do this when the Korean Peninsula, you know, does unify. And so they don't want to take any steps for change, and that's kind of understandable. But in reality, if you think back to the Winter Olympics, which I've paid absolutely no attention to, except for the fact that the Korean Peninsula, North and South Korea, fielded a single team. And they hadn't done that before, and they didn't do that because the United States had said they should do that or came up with the idea. We had nothing to do with that. They did that. And the people that live in the Korean Peninsula, they are the ones, they're not waiting for the United States, they're not waiting for Trump or any other American president to give them permission. They're just not. And what the good message in all this, which I think is a good message, because I don't like empire and I don't like that the United States has been one for some time, well over 100 years, and actively seeks to expand that empire, which of course is a very expensive and energy draining activity that it does. But in fact, we're irrelevant to what's happening in North and South Korea. We are not a factor. You know, from an American perspective, we say, oh, we had this axis of evil. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Axis of evil. And I think at one time Libya was on it, and Iran always has to be on it, you know, and North Korea. Well, what a crazy construct for Americans to have to listen to, because it really has no bearing on any reality whatsoever. None of those countries could harm the United States or did harm the United States or had any intention of doing it. If they had you say, oh, well, the North Koreans have a missile and they could send a missile to Hawaii. Really? You really think so? And if they did that, what do you think the American response would be if that really happened? Well, we're a pretty crazy country. We'd probably turn into a parking lot. So, you know, there is rationality in the world. It's just not very much in the United States, but the world has a lot of rationality. And they're solving problems. They're solving problems without the United States. And then if you look at other things that are happening, of course, monetarily, you know, Iran, oh, we wanted to do sanctions. The United States is going to do sanctions with Iran. That was a bad deal. They're not doing what we think they should do. We're going to sanction them. Well, really? Who cares? What is it? Does Iran really care about that? I mean, they sell their gas and some of their oil, mainly to Europeans. So what was their response to we're going to do sanctions? Their response was to completely sell all their oil and gas, not denominated in dollars, but in the denominated directly in the currency of their customers, which is a streamlining, cost-saving measure. It makes a lot of sense. Why would it ever be denominated in dollars to begin with? Well, because the United States wanted it that way. Well, guess what? We don't matter anymore. The whole world is doing things, progressing and dealing with their problems all around us. And here we are, this very wealthy in some respects, of course, highly indebted country, very loud country. You know, we're almost like a loud, obnoxious little country. We think of ourselves as a large country. We got a few people. I mean, 300 million people. Certainly we have a big military. But we think of ourselves as the country the world revolves around. It's not that way. And increasingly we're seeing that it's not that way. And so to me that is that's a positive thing. So I'm over my initial disappointment that Trump's not going to go and do a summit with the North Korean guy. That's fine. He probably would have screwed it up anyway. They are progressing towards an end that they need to progress to on the Korean Peninsula with the people that matter to them. And we're not people that matter to them in any real way. And the next step, and it won't happen right away, but it will come where South Korea says, we don't need your troops anymore, because guess what? While you guys were talking amongst yourselves and planning empire expansion, we decided to denuclearize the peninsula. And so we don't need U.S. military forces there. We don't need your protection because the threat's gone. So see ya. Bye-bye. Anyway, so good things are happening. Good things are happening. You just won't really get that sense if you're Trump-centric, America-centric, you know, the American empire. American empire is in major, major decline. We're seeing it, and that is a good thing. It's something to celebrate. It's not part of our design to have been an empire. We got out of we colored outside the lines. That was a mistake on our part. So it's a good thing. So just like I had a great day, the weather was beautiful, I think we're making progress also in our foreign policy, even though it may not look like it.
Well, Karen, that was a whirlwind.
Yep.
I've very interesting to hear your perspective and how you changed your mind on whether this was good or bad.
Right. Well, I don't think it's good. It's probably bad, but I think more than both of those things, it's irrelevant. And that makes me feel good.
Yes. Yes.
and if we could look at more things out of irrelevant. PC as being irrelevant, yeah.
Increasingly, we are irrelevant here in the United States. Sure. And that's...
Karen? Karen?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Karen?
Yes.
You think that Trump is making... Do you think Trump's making these decisions on his own, or is he controlled by his puppet, do you think?
See, here's the problem with Trump, I think. You know, and Trump was... People liked him. They saw everything in themselves that they liked. They said, oh, Trump's doing that. And he was everything to all people. But, in fact, he does not have a good foundation educationally, I think, in things like liberty. In things like the American tradition. So he says America first, and a lot of people who have that Liberty Foundation, that republic, small r, Republican foundation for a vision of what our country could be, not an empire, we see America first, we think it's great. In fact, he was talking about autarky, he was talking about, you know, economic trade controls, you know, he was talking about beating everybody up so we would be first. That's not what we heard, but that's what he said, and I think I think we assume too much about how philosophically like the liberty side he was. I mean, you know, because we knew the establishment Republicans hated him. And that was a good thing. That's usually a good thing. That's a sign of something. But in fact, he wasn't as prepared. So what's happening is, yeah, he's probably getting run a little bit around by some of the folks around him. Luckily, he knows how to fire people. So the folks there now who came in on the second year may not last into the third year, and I'm hoping, keep my fingers crossed, that that'll be the case. Certainly Pence was out of line, so I thought he had a handle on Pence, but he doesn't. So he does not have allies, and actually he probably never had allies in the White House. So I still kind of give him some points just for being a man alone in that regard. You know, when he, if he ever comes across, if Trump, and he does this quite frequently, comes across as being paranoid in some ways, like people have to get me, there's this and that, and it's not just the investigation. Obviously, that crazy thing is annoying, of course, but he has every right to feel paranoid because he does not have friends up there. He's not as good as he could be. He's not philosophically where he should be. But he is also alone, and he's got a lot of people backstabbing him. And I think Pence did it to him this time. But luckily, like I said, we're irrelevant to the world's progress. And that's a good thing.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, good night.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Michael Annis. Michael Annis is the executive editor of Howling Dog Press. He's a poet. He is an activist. He comes to us each month from Denver, Colorado. We're going to hear from Michael Annis right now.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Mike. It's good to be back on the New American Dream once again. I'm going to be reading the third canto from The War Between the Sons of Darkness and the Sons of Light, a poem that I actually wrote in the very, very early 90s, 1990s. But first, I'd like to give some explanation, insight into the form and what I do as a poetics, hopefully an originator of new poetics. Language is a source spring for revolution. At the core of their being, artists are revolutionaries. As a literary artist, my medium is language. Therefore, I invent and create new styles of expression, new syntax, new uses of the language, etc. Image collision, the style of this poem and a revolutionary form, evoking the necessity for revolution on multiple levels, is slam before the slam. Possibly this poem will not sound like a poem to some New American Dream listeners. Beat poetry, which this is not, like most innovative and original forms, was rejected by those who believed they were the authors and preservers of true poetry. Image collision is not beat poetry, but it carries similar stigmas, and there are parallels in all art forms. In music, we had Charlie Parker. It's like some old school marm somewhere telling Picasso or Van Gogh, in quotes, this is the way it's done. So do it this way or you won't be in the club and thereby you will forfeit any hope for recognition or immortality, in quotes. I did not invent image collision on a whim without giving it considerable thought. It is ultra raw. Because of the emotional intensity, the collision of perceptions through slammed together imagery, it sometimes stumbles over itself. While I was thinking through the form, I asked, what would language be if it was roaring on a motorcycle through the darkest, grimmest areas of the New York City subway system where it was conceived? Stylistically, the war between the Sons of Darkness and the Sons of Light was intended to reflect the utter fragmentation, the loss of self, and the loss of center of my being that I was feeling while witnessing the ocean of mayhem that was New York City. I walked into every area I was warned to stay away from, often at night. The people I met there all seemed to be bobbing down a raging river of monumental desolation. I have not performed this poem since the early 1990s. It's still ultra raw and intended to be so. The War Between the Sons of Darkness and the Sons of Light, Canto 3. Exploding black faces ignite, counting their dead, they rage forth. Black lambs lost in high night. What's blackness? They gravely consort. A vast void in white, the stars blossom. It's all which contains the light. While white hoods become black hoods, vigilantes of the gallows. Naive car horns and headlights cut the vacuum of night. Guns barrels woven into a death mask. Blackened blood and laughter, a finite chorale. While from under stars came the word like a scarred archangel, whose ghetto music was the sword song of death and upheaval. Blacks plummeting face first down a raging river of mayhem and blight, witnessed not the saintly procession of born in the kingdom unblemished souls, rather awestruck in the procession of taxis, mutants, bums, and endless hoes. Detailed then derailed black hoods running through the screaming snow, spewed corpses as urban fodder, knife blades across the cratered wasteland. In the straitjacket of space, this silent face of eternity sallows. In the body bag of time, this futile, timeless rhythm dreams maternity, disinheriting the planet, disavowing all God's children's serenity, abdicating faith and courage, hope masks ruins, gay and empathetic. Orphans, starving infants, opinion pens them in for the slaughter, imposes abnegation of those who mandatorily fast, then barter daughters. AIDS, emaciation, syringed by genocide. Queers, interred in indignation. Money laundered justice. ICE's anything, caught red-handed in copulation. Media parrots mugging profits for rich trailer trash crackers. Corporate magnates slicing continents, dividing spoils shore to shore, dissect haves from have-nots in dipolar, holier morass. Media parasites clinging to the garments of fractured vernacular. Corporate magus leaving payoffs in the cradle of Trotsky Antichrist. Media paradise, justice speaking out of both sides of its hair-lipped mouth, served up on platters by its two-edged gun sights, hindsight. Corporate maggots feasting off the corpses of the disabled and poor, divest desiccated, desecrated of interest savings and home sites. Money lust rations compassion to keep ahead of the evidence. Savage smiles of the great political society mutate in bellicose serenity. Three raised fingers of the long arm of the great deception. Gods terrorize the earth that the Father will notice you, then invest. Absolutism mediated their message to a paltry medium is the message. No ups and downs, just even presentations, pretensions, persecutions. Tepid and tamed, emitting fetid, restrained, and contained consequences. Pursuing advantageous avarice at the expense of all other survival. Scouring sobered blood from alligator leather of their tongues and hands. Soulless electronic index fingers stretch out godlike toward one another. I make thou real, executive. I make thou real, bishopric. I make thou real, politician. Thou art now real boys, drawing real boys' cruel lines. White powder up the corporate nose, corporate money coddles crack squads, feeds the starving homeless hose jobs of sorcery to desire and applaud. The troops know why they're there, for we've clearly implied it. The troops know why they die, for they're told it's not a lie. All sides Nazi bashing by invoking the names and deeds of Nazis. Good Hitlers denouncing bad Hitlers as any good Nazi would. America, make yourself great again. All it takes is a three-piece suit and a lie. America, people of a million references, no history, no ancestry, no lessons left behind for money. is the professor, and capitalist bullshit, the curriculum. Counting pennies into dollars makes one blind. You are what you see, getting which riches are popular at the imagined moment that recreates you daily to serve the most current exploitation. Wildlife laid in state on the roadways and sidewalk grates. Robin's eggs under the tires, fresh heads peek out for the slaughter. Hierarchical swine raised shopping malls, raised gun control. Carnivals in the graveyards, golden calves lowing out from stone. Saints tithed, fasting a meal, and still the bombed out ghettos erupted in poisonous angry poetry for the POW's gnawing bones. I'm sick of your middle class, crass Christianity, America. What suffering is there in WWJD t-shirts and lapel pins? Brethren Samaritans jest with death in the half-breeding streets, crippled in concupiscence. Divine harlots blow the brains, eat the remains of malnourished children's ingested dreams. I'm vomiting up your Pope Arazi, pass the plate redemption, America. I invoke the turgid apocalypse of WWTD, asking, what would Trotsky do? I hate prayer circles led by degenerate presidents coming out of the closets of the White House. I'm repulsed by your looking upper class concrete vision, looking over those beaten to their knees in your wealthier than thou conquest. Scanning the horizon for maximum security, the return on your prison investments, shit canning the homeless as you flaunt your bankrolls and don the priest's vestments. You harvest souls for Moloch, IBM, and the party, not Christ, St. Francis, or St. Mary. How can we profit off dead prophets? Asked set in silver gold patinaed 700 clubs, chat of goodies, faithful brokers, spoils and interest today, not tomorrow. Inset 007 chicanery talks globally while forked tongues blow holes locally, romping headlong through the wilderness of shattered human consciousness. Batteries for oil, parents waging genocidal war upon aborted and escorted sons and daughters. Is dignity cheaper now than a game of chance, a roll of the dice betting on the hereafter? Double-breasted barbarians with twice-faced, slick packaging. Holosophist's eternal quest lays out but one more holy war. Jingoists shoot up libeled flags, counter-cultured rebel upstarts. Untied nations united in nationalistic spiel while citizens wear rags. Squeezing wives in warm champagne, admin pander, mount campaigns. Wrapping human remains pouches by euphemistic body bags for their slinky tarts, diaspora stripped of identity, melded together by steel and molten lead, found profound respect and camaraderie as the old and disabled collectively bled.
And now, for another episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle. Buddy is patrolling the War on Terror Memorial Highway in South Central Alabama. He's sitting in a grove of trees next to a rotting deer carcass, can't see a thing. But he can hear that the highway is packed from all the noise. He cranks the Bolshoi Ballet in his earbuds as he snacks on the boiled potatoes he brought for break and also sneaks a peek at the crayfish buckwheat blintzes he packed for his lunch. He's got his personal phone pressed to his ear waiting for a call to St. Petersburg to go through, and the scanner is running, waiting for a message from the Kremlin.
Buddy gets out of the squad car, stands by the side of the road, and points up at the sky. Cars slow down, tires squeal, horns honk, vehicles pull over. People get out and look up at where Buddy is pointing. Buddy gets back in his car and drives away. He goes downtown by way of the back highway, stops on the side street, goes to Main Street. He stands on the sidewalk and points up at the sky. People stop right by him, try to sight up his arm to whatever he's pointing at. Now he points over there. Lots of people stop. But he moves a few steps, points up again at a new something in the sky. People are looking up, asking each other what is up. They are confused. And now Buddy says out loud in his cop voice, people on the street look up at him, place their hands over his heart as he begins to speak. Now, to honor America, please stand. They fidgeted because they were already standing. Every one of you out there washing your car, sitting on the toilet, polishing your coin collection, driving in your cars, kneeling in the confessional, please stand. And honor the coming war with Iran, please remove your hat. To honor the coming shock and awe, the awesome slaughter of a whole new batch of brownish people with high-tech weapons paid for by single mothers with nine jobs dropping off their children at daycare at 5 a.m. Please remove your shoes. To honor those journalists on our televisions, inside our radios, and in our newspapers who work diligently each day to bring us the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, please remove your shirt. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the wise and discerning and courageous leaders of our nation who will lead us in this coming slaughter of babies, infants, toddlers, young adults, mothers, fathers, and old people, please remove your pants, your dresses, your underwear. And at this time, please turn to the gigantic American flag rippling in the breeze at the north end of the stadium. Turn around, bend over, and repeat after me. F the FBI, F the CIA, F the NSA. I'm living in the mother effing USA. Buddy is a Russian spy. Stay tuned for next week's episode of The Adventures of Deputy and Candidate for Sheriff of Pecan County, Buddy Q. Twinkle, sponsored by Lemon Fresh Borax, also sponsors of On Babushka Kalashnikov's Corner, The View from My Piroshki Cart, When Your Dogs Tell You the Russians Pooped in the Hallway While You Were at Work, and the Democrats Tell You, No, We Didn't Rig the Elections Against Bernie Sanders, We did not commit treason, dozens of felonies. We didn't conspire against the American people. Look over there, Russians! We're there for you, protecting the homeland. Lemon Fresh Borax in the fading yellow box.
Our next guest for the show is Julius Oliphant. Julius Oliphant joins us each month from Yaoundé, Cameroon. Julius sends along this note about his talk tonight. Cameroon and the United States of America are undergoing some diplomatic tension sparked by the visit paid to President Paul Biya of Cameroon by the American ambassador H.E. Peter Barline. This crisis is an extension of the ongoing socio-political crisis rocking Cameroon, with the Anglophone standing against the Francophone government domination of their inherited Anglo-Saxon culture. And now, from Cameroon, Julius Oliphant.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Good evening and good evening to our listeners. Today, Cameroon is on the top on the show, and we are going to be talking about the ongoing diplomatic incident that is taking place in Cameroon. This incident was sparked since last week, Thursday the 17th, when the American ambassador to Cameroon, Peter Ballerin, paid a visit to the Unity Palace, that is our own White House, where he held a talk with the president of Cameroon, President Paul Biya. After this meeting, he came out and he was approached by the press, the media. And he told the media exactly what he told the president. And he said this, and I quote, "I suggested to the president that he should be thinking about his legacy and how he wants to be remembered in the history books to be read by generations to come." He adds, "I proposed that proposed that George Washington and Nelson Mandela were excellent models for him to follow. Then he continues, he also told the president the naked truth about the burning. I mean, he denounced the excesses of the Cameroonian military who are indiscriminately killing innocent people or innocent people living or innocent Anglophones living in the English-speaking part of Cameroon and who so far have burned down more than 70 villages in these Anglophone regions. So this is the naked truth he told Biya, and this really pierced the Biya regime. And every political actor, I mean, from those who support President Paul Biya, have come out widely to denounce the ambassador of his outing to the media. One of such is the Minister of Communication, Minister Issa Churuma Bakari, who said, and I quote, "I am really surprised that, or at the statement of the U.S. ambassador, we are victims. The nation as a whole is a victim." By victim, he is saying that he is making allusion to the fact that the Anglophones who are fighting to secede or to separate or to restore their state, the state they had in before 1961, when they get into unification with the French part of Cameroon, are terrorists, in quote. In fact, most of those who support President Paul Biya, most of his ministers and his party people and the Francophones, think that the Anglophones who are fighting for secession, who are fighting to restore their statehood, are terrorists. Some Anglophones, too, who really do not want separation, think that way, too. Another minister, or former minister of Paul Biya, is Garga Aman Aji, who said, Cameroon did not, and I quote him, "Cameroon did not have a lesson to receive from the United States, where police are killing blacks every day." And another Francophone who also came out denouncing the ambassador's outing is a Cameroonian writer who is now a French, a woman called Calixte Beyala, who said, "A private conversation with a head of state should not be commented in public. What we call the diplomatic reserve, and now I think we are out of reserve." So this is a lot of controversial debate has been going on. But in general, I will tell you that most Anglophones, that is most of those who hail or who are or who were from the former British part of Cameroon, hail or appreciate, congratulate the ambassador's outing, saying that he is doing the right thing. He needs to call the power of Yaoundé or the government of Cameroon to order, because they can't go on killing people indiscriminately and think they will go free. So, and some believe that the ambassador was giving a good advice to President Paul Biya, who has been in power since 1982, telling him there's no need, the country is going down the abyss. The country is in conflict, and you are unable to resolve the issue. You are not even willing to resolve the conflict. So people think that he is giving a golden opportunity for the president to step down and let somebody else come up and see, and let's see if he can resolve the issue or hold a constructive debate with those who do not want to be part of Cameroon. So people have been talking about it, and some other authors, I mean, some Facebook commentators, when I had to give examples, warning, I mean, these are Cameroonians, warning the Cameroonian government that we do not play with the United States. I mean, first of all, let me even give a flashback. I think a week or 2 weeks before this incident, the American ambassador, I mean, the American government offered 2 military jets to the Cameroonian government through the ambassador, and they received it. They were so happy that they got, I mean, assist them to the fight against Boko Haram in the north. But when he turns around and gives you a good piece of advice, We said, no, he shouldn't be doing that. He's interfering. This is what the Cameroonian authorities are saying, that the American ambassador is interfering into the internal issues of Cameroon. And since Cameroon is a sovereign state, they have no lessons to receive from the United States. But people say, but come on, you just received two jets. They just offered you two jets, free gift to your defense system. You did not see that as intruding into your private affair. Now that he's advising you for the well-being of the country, he's advising the president for the well-being of the country to step down, you turn around and say he's infiltrating into your private issue. Some sort of hypocrisy is going on here, you know, and that is why some of us, some people, some Anglophones really do not like this Francophone-led government, because they really are not serious in the way they govern things. High rate of corruption, embezzlement, misappropriation, bad jobs, stealing, and all this do not really please some of us. I mean, we Anglophones who were colonized by the British and were taught to be rigorous in the way we manage affairs. So this guy was given an example to warning those who are supporting Pierre, I mean, who think they are denigrating the United States, tells them that they should be very careful, because when it was time for Charles Taylor to go, President Bush said this, and I quote, "Mr. Taylor must leave now." A few months later, Charles Taylor was in handcuffs in the Hague. When President Obama told Laurent Gbagbo that he should leave power and he wanted to resist, he was taken off power. The same thing with Mobutu Sese Seko, the ex-president of Zaire, of blessed memory, with Clinton. When Clinton, through the former ambassador Bill Richardson, asked him to leave, he was like trying to show off with the United States that he cannot leave there. And he was removed from power. The same thing with Jonas Savimbi in Angola. The same thing with Omar el-Bashir in Sudan. So there was some sort of a warning to them that be very careful. You don't go challenging the United States. You have no resources intellectually, economically, militarily. You shouldn't even think. A country like Cameroon should not think of challenging the United States. So some of the debates came up, and when I go through the debate, I see that truly in Cameroon we have a problem. We have a problem with the Anglophones, those who were colonized by the British, and the Francophones, those who were colonized by the French. When you read the comments in general, I'm not saying all, the majority of comments made by those who were colonized by the French are in favor of the blasting of the American ambassador by the government of Cameroon. In fact, they go as far as saying that they have no lessons to receive from the United States. If that says they interfere in their internal affairs.
Julius Avakong from Cameroon for that commentary.
Message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Decentralization and bank and annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, here's an editorial comment from New American Dream opinion guy, Hunter S. Flintstone.
Thank you. Douglas Valentine has critiqued the progressive left's uncritical stance toward public luminaries, such as longtime CIA operative Daniel Ellsberg, or the functioning deity of American liberals, the New York Times itself. According to Valentine, political progressives demonstrate crucial blind spots in their adoration of such figures and institutions. Works and authors that shed light on the contradictory nature of this adoration are either ignored or derogated by what CIA official Kordmeier termed the combatible left, notes Valentine. Upon the Phoenix Program's publication in 1990, the word went out to ignore the book, not just because it revealed CIA secrets, observes Valentine, but because it identified the media, and the Times in particular, as the reason why the public can't see the CIA clearly for what it is, a criminal conspiracy on behalf of wealthy capitalists. I had also noted that the release of the Pentagon Papers distracted attention from congressional hearings into Phoenix. In subsequent books, I added that it distracted attention from reports on CIA drug trafficking as well. Indeed, Valentine argues that he was effectively neutralized by CIA media assets, and even his allies responded in chorus that he crossed the line and would never get another book published in the U.S. So I learned the hard way, he continues, that the CIA has a strategic intelligence network of management-level people in the information industry who know, through instruments like the Times Book Review section, what books and authors to marginalize. Also, regarding my report asking readers to tell me if there is an explanation for the absence of obituaries for the alleged Parkland school shooting victims, some readers report finding some convincing obituaries and some less so. For example, some readers report what appear to be more like news story than obits, in which people who did not know the victim are very mushy about it, and as if it is an orchestrated PR event. Some readers say that the Parkland shooting is more convincing than the Las Vegas one, and that some of the mass shootings are real and some are not. I continue to wonder why the stories are presented in ways that seem intentionally to raise suspicions, and why loose ends are left loose and conflicting testimony left unresolved. I wonder if we are being trained to be unable to discern fact from fantasy. Perhaps the suspicions about the shootings are the result of the boy who cried wolf. We have had so many lies, such as Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, Assad's use of chemical weapons, Russian invasion of Ukraine, Skripal poisoning, and the lies about Gaddafi, that we have lost confidence in all news reports, especially when there is the possibility of an undeclared agenda, such as gun control in the cases of the mass shootings. When governments and the media are disrespectful of the truth, they destroy their credibility among the people. Chris Hedges, America's last real journalist, a profession now owned by propagandists, hired by interest groups to tell their lies, gives us reason to think. Are Israelis God's chosen people or Satan's genocidal, racist psychopaths? There is little doubt that Israel has the most totally evil government that has ever existed on earth. But before you hate every Jew, notice that the film, Killing Gaza, Hedges is describing that so exactly describes Israel's crimes against humanity was made by two Jews. Some Jews have an extremely high moral consciousness, whereas most Israelis seem to have no moral conscience whatsoever. The Trump government is aligned with the Israeli government that has no moral conscience against the Jews and the rest of humanity who do. Does anyone on earth really believe, for example, that Netanyahu has a moral conscience? Watch the film Killing Gaza and see if you can find any semblance of a moral conscience in the Israeli government. Support this film. It is very important for the moral consciousness of mankind, which is the only factor that prevents nuclear war. The unambiguous absence of morality in the Israeli government is why Putin's invitation to the greatest immoralist of them all, Netanyahu, to be an honored guest at the Russian celebration of victory over Germany in World War II has done such damage to Putin's and Russia's reputation. Russia fought the genocidal Nazis and now honors with presidential invitations the genocidal Netanyahu, whose policy is genocide for the Palestinians and for Syria and for Iran. The Trump regime has sabotaged Putin's peace efforts in Syria, Iran, Ukraine, and North Korea. In the interest of peace, Putin has avoided responding to U.S. and Israeli provocations in Syria. Putin went so far as to invite the war criminal and genocidal maniac Netanyahu to Russia for the celebration of Russia's victory over Germany in World War II. Netanyahu accepted, but showed Putin who his boss by ordering illegal Israeli military attacks on Syrian army positions just prior to his departure for Russia. Washington rewarded Putin's peace efforts by occupying with U.S. and French troops the part of Syria still held by Washington's mercenaries sent to overthrow Assad, and by resupplying the Muslim extremists Washington is using against Assad's secular government. With U.S. and French troops present, Putin has halted the offensive to clear all of Syria of the foreign invaders. If Americans or French are killed, Putin knows that the demonization of Russia will reach a new high pitch, and Washington will use it to counteract Europe's dissatisfaction with Washington. The box into which Putin has been put by the Russian government's misjudgment of U.S. and Israeli intentions allows continuing U.S.-led attacks on Syrian military positions. Previously, Putin blocked the planned U.S. invasion of Syria by arranging for all of Syria's chemical weapons to be turned over to the West for destruction. The official Chemical Weapons Inspection Agency certified that Syria is devoid of chemical weapons. Putin's reward is that U.S. government officials, the entirety of the U.S. media, and Washington's British and French vassals have consistently blamed false flag chemical attacks, and in the case of Douma, a fake news chemical attack that has been certified not to have been taken place on Assad. The Trump regime has also sabotaged Putin's peace effort in Iran. Putin brought the fake Iranian nuke crisis orchestrated by Washington and its prostitute media to an end by working out a multi-nation agreement that Iran would not produce weapons-grade nuclear material or enriched uranium beyond the low-level use for nuclear energy. Official agencies certified that Iran has kept the agreement, but despite the established facts, Washington and its prostitute media continue to allege that Iran has a nuclear weapons program. Trump, at the insistence of Netanyahu, has pulled the U.S. out of the multinational agreement signed by Iran, the U.S., Russia, China, U.K., France, and Germany. China and Russia worked to reconcile North and South Korea and secured North Korea's agreement to stop nuclear weapons tests. Peace between the Koreas was taking place, but Trump has sabotaged this peace effort as well. The prostitute media, a.k.a. Washington's propaganda ministry, has misrepresented the destruction of peace agreements as necessary actions to protect Americans and the world from rogue states. But Israel is the only other government that agrees with Washington. Now that Washington and Israel have sabotaged Putin's diplomacy, Putin's hope is that the result will isolate Washington from Washington's European and British vassal states rather than isolate Russia, Syria, Iran, and North Korea from the rest of the world. There is much evidence that European leaders have had their fill of being treated as Washington slaves. Possibly they will throw off Washington's control. On the other hand, except for France under de Gaulle, no European country has had an independent foreign or economic policy in 75 years. Moreover, European leaders are accustomed to relying on Washington providing their comfortable retirements, like Tony Blair's $50 million, and European business interests would be harmed if Trump cuts them off from U.S. markets. How real a European revolt is remains to be seen. Israel's interest in the Middle East is expansion, which is inconsistent with peace. Israel needs conflict and the destabilization of Syria and Iran, Hezbollah's suppliers, so that Israel can seize southern Lebanon. The American neoconservatives, who are firmly entrenched in the Trump regime, are de facto Israeli agents. Moreover, they are committed to American hegemony, which requires the overthrow of independent governments. Putin is betting that Washington's pursuit of hegemony in the Middle East will cost Washington hegemony in Europe. If Putin does not win this bet, he had better be prepared for the war that Washington and Israel are aiming directly at Russia. That's the news, and I'm out of here. Good night and good luck. And so it goes. That's the way it is. Stay on the same page. Take it to the next level. It is what it is. At the end of the day, have a good day. And remember to tip your congressman.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. The flags are at half-staff at the post office and Bueller Chevrolet and the high school and also Taco John's, as they have been for weeks, months, and months to celebrate the death of Osama bin Laden and also the burial at sea of Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, buried at sea, as well as Captain Hook, buried at sea, and the Big Bad Wolf, buried at sea. A while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, a local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around. She sent some transcripts to some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the newspaper, but they didn't want it, so she sent them to us. Is this heaven? Nope, it's Ohio, where everything good is bad. All the good stuff about this state is sour, bitter, spoiled, because this state's for the war. These people are for the war. They support the troops, the war. They kill children and anyone else who gets in their way as they drive to Hy-Vee for the special on iceberg lettuce. And so all the ice cream and lollipops and hayrack rides and painted ponies are for shit. Somebody needs to bomb Ohio. Somebody needs to send fighter planes and cruise missiles down Main Street. Put giant craters in the outfield grass. Down the perfect streets and avenues where all is faux sweetness and light. Children bouncing to and fro wiener dogs yipping in rhyme. While on the other side of the world, the streets are ripped apart. Same with the children and the dogs. We think those ripped apart children are fine. We think we have torn the hearts and stomachs from those children for their own good. The electronic time and temperature sign at the Ohio State Bank says we support our troops. Every other car has a yellow sticker on the back that says, we support those darn troops fighting over there for our daggone freedom. Don't you hate those message signs in front of the Ohio churches? So trite, so patriotic. These people are not Christians. They have about as much awareness of who they are or where they're going as ants at a picnic. They march to church each Sunday thinking the feast is meant for them when they are merely pests. Folks in Ohio will grumble and scuff their shoes all day long at a 2-penny increase in gas prices. But a $40 billion bill for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan won't even get a mention at coffee time. The stupidity of Ohioans cannot be adequately measured using today's available technology. If we did not use that $40 billion to kill children in Iraq and Afghanistan, we could have great schools, hospitals, railroads, insurance, candy for supper, whatever we want. Instead, we bomb kids. Pro-life fanatical parents bombing kids so their own kids can't have a new school. What we need in this country is somebody on the left, somebody underground under the front porch in a subsidized rental apartment in Dayton somewhere to counter the propaganda minister of the state currently running about 4 hours each afternoon on every Ohio State radio station. Rush Limbaugh is, of course, the Goebbels of the United States Empire, bought and paid for. We don't understand that yet. It will take 50 years and more for it to sink in, but it's true nonetheless. Let me just leave you with this. The weight of the world is on your shoulders. You feel it, don't you? The world is waiting for you to do something. To be yourself. To be who you really are. Not some scared guy at the stop and go, grinning and chuckling at some joke about Iraqi cadavers melting in the sun on the streets of Fallujah. But the guy who your Jesus or Buddha or Alan the Alien intended you to be. You were placed here by that entity. Like one of those football players on those electric playing boards of long ago. To do a job. But all you've been doing is buzzing, rattling, shaking, refusing to come out of the corner. The old ladies sitting with their hair freshly done in their two hot houses on winter afternoons, still nagging husbands long gone, wondering if today is the day to swallow the rest of the pills. They watch you drive by with all the potential and good things you have that you don't even realize. And wonder when you are going to turn into you. Well, this is Jack Robert King, and this is Looking for Bigfoot Radio. You all have a good night. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. No UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. No destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America. The new America. The real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing United States politicians, journalists, generals who brought about this long war, this debacle, the trial. Put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings, the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming a type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies. But it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions because our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, somebody else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire. Those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He's complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed, buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there is a plane right there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole. No, there's no blood. No bodies. No luggage scattered. No plane parts. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Well, those were not written with a rock and afraid. We thank you for joining us tonight on the New American Dream Radio Show. We hope you have enjoyed it, and we hope you'll be back with us next week and every week right here on the New American Dream. And to back into the conversation because his phone dropped, and I think he's back. So
I'm back.
Thank you and good night.
Well, Chuck, it's that time of year again. Time for us to find out who is the dumbest dumb guy in America, the absolute biggest pile of crap, who salutes the fighter jets flying at treetop level over his house while struggling to pay his own Budweiser, bacon, and bananas bill. Who will get the prize? I'm proud to be a Nazi bumper sticker presented by Gene Rosen and H. Wayne Carver at midfield during halftime of the Super Bowl game. Nominate your next door neighbor or your nephew or your brother or your mom and dad by just contacting the New American Dream Radio Show. And thank you, Chuck, for all you do. The interviews, the technical guru stuff, all that makes this show possible. And thanks to our guests, Michael Annis, Karen Katowski, Julius Awafong, Phil Ferruccio, and Gilbert Landold. I was going to say Frank Cordero, but we'll see Frank Cordero next week. Please visit the New American Dream website where you'll find information about all our regular guests, also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N magazine.us. If you would like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, which runs on donations, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314, and join the fight for social justice and working with the poor. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. They charged all the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away that DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, leave me the birds and the bees, please. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Next week, everyone, it's a 5 Thursday month. We're going to have a special show with Michael Annis and another guest from Denver, a friend of Michael's, who is going to tell us quite a bit about the some housing initiatives out there. It's a very interesting interview. I've already recorded that, and I highly recommend it. And Michael's going to be reading something from John Dos Passos next week. So should be a very good show. We look forward to having you there with us. So thank you, everyone. Good night.
Night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life you won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
We've got too far,
and I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come when the courage of men fails,
but it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here, this far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's gonna be easy.
You're gonna work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine, we'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say,
we can break this army here.
And win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then
you must fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
That's the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap!
All right, let's fly!
And gentlemen in England, now abed, shall know my name is the Lord!
But I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day!
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. One world coming together to bring freedom home. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be-